Well, I want to tell you guys, I really like this episode I got right now. Bradley Smith, Marion, Louisiana. Bradley is an all-around outdoorsman, but one thing sticks out with me, and that's his love of catfish. And this guy, let me tell you something, folks, he is a hoop netter, he is a limb liner, and he is an overall good fisherman. Bradley comes on and gives us some ideas and thoughts on hoop netting. If you've got an interest in that, wire nets, the little wire nets you see, they're about 6 feet tall, and he's going to get into some limb lining. We're also going to talk about his YouTube page. This guy's a YouTube sensation. Now, he ain't no Ben Milliken, but he's getting there. Y'all give a listen, Bradley Smith. Going to have a very diverse podcast tonight. I got a guy on here, Bradley Smith. I've seen him on Facebook. One thing I noticed right off the jump was he had YouTube videos, you know, and not a lot of people in North Louisiana, you know, do a lot of YouTube videos. Maybe do one or something like that. This cat he's very consistent with his YouTube stuff. So then I got to looking, and what I want to talk about with him now, Bradley, thank you for taking time out, man, and talking to us today, because I really want to pick your brain on some catfishing for sure.
Oh, man, we're glad to do it.
So let me ask you this. Tell us real quick. Give us a little background on you and tell us who you are, where you're from.
Bradley Smith right here in Marion, Louisiana. We're here in North Louisiana, pretty close to Palmerville. A lot of people know about Lake Darbonne over here. It's a pretty popular lake right here between it and the Ouachita River. So we got a lot of good fishing right here in this area.
Yeah, that's, I'm more toward the river. And I'm really wanting to get going, doing a little catfishing on the river. And that's the main reason I wanted to bring you on, is get some tips, because I know you're really, really strong with that catfish game, man. Because, you know, you have really turned some heads in the last few years with what you're doing catfishing wise, brother. I mean, it's impressive. How's your YouTube channel doing with that?
It's doing pretty good with the catfishing end of it. We got a little bit of everything, but the catfishing's pretty popular. So
yeah, what do you catfish most with? What are you usually catching your fish with?
We fish a lot with hoop nets and wire nets. You know, all during the year, really. A little bit of everything, but you know, we'll do some pole fishing and some limb lining and things like that, but. But what we do a lot of is hoop net fishing, just something I grew up doing, been doing it for a lot of years, and that's just one of our pastimes that we're just trying to kind of keep going.
Do you have a specific size hoop that you like better than others?
In hoop nets, I like 3 foot diameter hoop nets and 3.5 foot diameter hoop nets. That's just my favorite. They're a little easier to handle. You know, people fish a lot of stuff. We're not fishing commercial. We're fish recreational. And you just don't have to have those big nets to fish recreational just to put a few fish in the freezer or feed some family and friends, you know.
Yeah. So where are you getting your netting supplies? Where do you usually get them from?
All of our netting supplies we get from, you can pick up twine here local, but you're going to have to get hoops and things like that to build hoop nets out of from a net supply company. And there's some in Jonesville, Louisiana. You got Champlin's down there, and you got Nets and More, which is where I buy a lot of my stuff. And then you got Memphis Net and Twine up in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, I've used Champlin's before, but it's been, in fact, now that I've moved, I don't get the magazine. I used to send a catalog out. And man, I'd sit there and get stuff or look at it, but man, that's been a long time since I've messed with nets much. Now, when we lived on the Darbonne, I bought a wire net for the girls, because I was raised on hoop nets, man. That's what, you know, Daddy had us on a looter, and some on the river, and we was out there running hoop. And I'm like, man, these kids ain't gonna mess with no hoop net. But I wanted them to see a bunch of fish, so I bought that little wire net down there at Cooter's. When old Coot was still living. And first time Daddy saw it, he looked at it and he said, you catch a bunch of fish, call me. You know, he's being a little smart aleck, right?
Yeah.
I'll help you clean them. I said, okay. And I put a hunk of cheese in that rascal, right? I got that cheese. I think I pulled that cheese from K&M and throwed that thing out there. And about 3 days later, I go and I pull on that net. And I swear to God, man, I thought I was hung up on something. I'm like, golly, I done got it out here and I got it hung up. And about that time, I could feel the fish in there swimming, moving. I said, man, this thing's full of fish. It was so full of fish, I like not got it up on the pier. And I took a picture of it and I sent it to him. I said, come on, smart aleck, bring your knife. We got some fish to clean. Those little wire nets, because in the right spot, they'll catch some fish, won't they?
Oh, yeah. We fish the wire nets a lot in kind of toward the middle of the summer or a lot in the winter. What the wire nets are good for, you're not going to catch a lot of flatheads in them, or some people call them ops, but you're going to catch a lot of blues and channel cats in them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fiddlers, the smaller ones, you know, so, and they're pretty, you can catch in them year round. It's just, we run our hoop nets a lot for big flatheads, and we run them in the fall from like October through November, and then we run them again from, say, 1st of April through mid-June. So that time, I don't really fool with the wire nets just because we're kind of targeting the big flatheads.
The Reuben Weaver calls them the filet mignon of Lake Darbonne, those big cats, those big flatheads.
That's a pretty good name. And that's about accurate.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, people love to eat white perch. You know, it's all they're talking about. Oh, white perch. White. Lesser known is those big ops. I'm telling you, because you get a not a really big op. You know, I don't particularly care for one that's just, you know, real big. You get about a medium size, and man, that meat is so pretty, and it doesn't have that gamey taste, and it is some of the best fish you'll ever put in your mouth. It is so good.
Well, now, what we'll do on those ops, if they're over like 10 pounds, we'll cut the tails and bleed them, and if they're over about 12 or 14 pounds, we trim all that red meat off of them. So even your bigger ones, I mean, they're good to eat too. And really, if you trim them out right, they're just as good to eat as the small ones are. So anybody that's fortunate enough to get one, they think a big one's too fat. You can, they are fat, don't get me wrong, but you can trim that red meat off of them and that fat and cut that lateral line up out of them, and you get just as white or pretty a meat as you would off of a 5 or 6 pounder.
So lay it down for me. Say I'm gonna go, and I want to try to start hoop netting. What are some of the situations where you want to, areas you say, okay, this would be a good spot for a net? What are you looking for?
Well, now you got two different things. You know, we fish the river and we fish a lake. So you got to break that down into two totally different situations and ways of fishing.
Okay, let's break down moving water like the river. Right on. Let's do that first.
Well, you know, in the spring, I mean, the things you got about the river, first of all, you got a lot of current. So you got a big safety factor. That's the first thing I'm going to say about any of that is everybody running nets, especially in the river, needs to wear a life jacket. That is a must. It's a must in my boat. Now, the river is constantly changing, and that's the hard part about fishing the river. It's up and down. The levels are always changing, but now, what we look for in the springtime, this time of the year, is in April, all old-timers used to say the dogwoods go to blooming when the fish go to running. Well, that's pretty accurate because the water temps is warming up, and, you know, they've been down in the deeps all winter long, just kind of laying there. They kind of go dormant, and as it goes getting spring, just like everything else pops out, they pop out, and they go to feeding and get ready for the spawn. You know, they've lost a lot of that fat during the winter. They're kind of feeding and gaining a little bit of that back. They're ready to spawn, so they're moving shallow. When they start coming up from, you know, 30 foot deeper, coming up into 25 and 30 foot, then it becomes easier to get them nets on the edge of the river and target them. Now, when we get in there and start looking for sets and things like that, a lot of the sets we look for is actually done when the river's at pool stage. What we really looking for as far as where we put our nets? That's the biggest question I get all the time. And I can't tell people enough. All the old timers would always talk about being on the pool stage line. So what I mean by that is if you're looking at the river and it's pool stage and the water comes up there and it hits a bar or, the water line, the basic water line, that's where you want to look for your net sets. And that's about where your net's going to see. Now, you may have a steep bank there come down and have like a step coming out into the river, and that drop off be, or that water line be pretty close to that drop off. Places like that, you may have a bar that runs up, kind of slopes up. Some of them are good sets. The biggest thing is you kind of going to be on the edge of the current, and as far as whether you're going to be in bends or straightways or what, that's all just kind of trial and error. You just got to set one out, and come back. And if you catch in it, that's good. That can be a set from then on. And if it don't, you may have to move it a time or two till you hit the fish.
Okay. Is there any particular depth you like for yours to be at?
Not really. We catch fish from, we actually fish two different ways. We fish nets suspending them in the water, up, just letting the current, just tying them up on the surface when the river's way up and just letting them come back. Kind of, they call it swinging them. And that net may be 15, 20 foot under the surface, and we'll catch a lot of buffalo and some big flatheads like that even. And then, for the most part, a lot of our other nets may be sitting in anywhere from 10 to 25 foot of water, just depending on water temps and how warm it is. If you go to fishing 10 or shallower and it's real warm, you might go to catch a lot of turtles and things like that. And that's just what we want to stay away from. We don't want that in the nets, and we don't want to have to deal with it. So most of the time we're fishing 15 to 25 foot of water.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned safety. That was probably one of the first videos caught my attention was, I grew up from little boys with Chad Hayes. And when Big Chad fell in the water, I watched that video and I was like, oh my goodness gracious, and like you said, that water's going to be running. And I'm glad you brought that up, man. That safety's a big deal. Tell us about that day. You remember that day Chad fell in the water?
Oh yeah. That was actually January, I believe. It was either January or February. So the water was cold. Clearly we weren't in the river. We were on Corny, and, it wasn't a lot of current or anything like that. So I was able to get him back to the bank and in the boat pretty quick, but we didn't do too much camera rolling when all that went down. It was just because, you've been doing this. I mean, I'm 45 years old, been doing this with Dad since I was 3 years old, and that's the first person I've ever seen go in the water, to be honest about it.
My great uncle, they were on the Looter. My great uncle, and I think it was his grandson, and Uncle Jesse was on the front of the boat. He was running. He was trying to find the headline for the net, and there was a something. I think it was I don't think it was a stump. I think it was just a log under the water, and they hit it. And I mean, he went head right in, and Ryan. I believe it was Ryan was right there, grabbed him, borrowed him back up in the boat. But and I remember them telling me, said if he didn't have on that life jacket, that could have turned bad very, very quickly.
Oh yeah.
Y'all probably hearing, I'm out here, I don't have any service at the house, and I had to come down here to Sterlington First Baptist Church, so you may be hearing some cars come by. Bradley, you may hear some from his end, too. He's out there at his house, but we're trying to give y'all something good to listen to. So far, I'm very impressed with what I'm hearing so far, because this is exactly what I was wanting to capture on this podcast. Now, let's talk about the lake situation. You said river and lake going to be two different situations. What are you looking for on the lake when you're running some hoop nets?
Well, now I got introduced to the lake fishing hoop net end of it a few years ago, I'm going to say 10 or 12 years ago. So it was kind of new to me. We'd always fished a river and always had current. And for years, I just thought you had to have current to catch fish. And what we've learned now is you don't have to have current to catch fish with hoop nets. Like I said, they're associated with fishing current, because all your rivers and stuff in Louisiana and around, people have been hoop net fishing since the early 1900s. Lakes, that's a lot different because you don't have moving water, so there's nothing to hold the net open, you know. Current normally holds your net open. So in a lake, you gotta do a little more as far as your headlines and things to stretch that net open and weight it and hold it open. And you also don't have certain fish runs like you do in a river. Because like I was talking about those net sets in a river, when we find those sets, like I've got, you know, five sets down there I've been fishing since I was 13 years old, the same five sets. When you find those sets, you'll catch fish in them every year. I go back, drop those nets in the same spot. You can even leave your tail lines and tie right back in the same exact spot and catch fish year after year after year. The lake is similar to that. It's any lake that is. You know, we fish Darbone and different ones around here, but all these lakes are going to be the same. If they've got channel cat or blue cat or flatheads in them, you can catch them in a net if it's legal to fish that gear there. The thing with the lakes and catching fish in them, you're not going to be able to hem them up like in the river when they run around these bars and things like that. They're running in a line because they're running the edge of that current, or so to speak, is some of the old timers used to say fish kind of like people. They travel roads just like we do. Well, in a lake, I can't really imagine that, because if there's no current, they're just kind of rambling. So what we know in these lakes is there's a lot of catfish in them. There's way more catfish in these lakes than what people think. And, you know, you hear things about hurting the population and stuff like that. These guys been fishing these areas since the 60s or 70s, whenever these lakes was built. And there's no sign of any population depletion whatsoever in these lakes. So two things on the lakes that'll make fish go in a net, and this is either net, this is your wire nets or hoop net, is if they're trying to spawn, you know, they're looking for logs and concrete to, you know, something to get under to make a bed or nest to spawn, or if they're hungry and they're wanting to feed. So when we're trying to catch these fish in the spring, like right now, around April the 20th in lakes, these fish go to looking for some holes to get in to spawn. So you may, you know, a hoop net is kind of like a log laying there. And whether they think it's a log and they're going in there to spawn, or maybe a brim swam through there and they're going in there to feed or something like that, then either one of those might make that fish go in. And then when one or two goes in there, you know, all of his buddies might try to come in there. Mm-hmm. Now, that's as far as the flatheads go. You know, channel cats are a little bit different. They are, you know, they're scavengers. And when it comes to eating, hey, some of those stinky cheese, they're going to go in there and get it.
Won't they? Yeah, they'll go in there after that cheese quick. You like to use that stinky cheese, or you like to use that hard cheese?
I'm going to tell you, I watched these commercial fishermen for years. They'd have that stuff running all down their chest, putting it in them slat traps and hoop nets, and they never did phase them a bit. But me, I'm a little bit different. I don't like it all over me. And what I've figured out is how to catch them with these compressed cheese blocks, these cheese soybean blocks. If you can get away with catching them with it, it's a whole lot cleaner and easier to deal with, and it works pretty good in them wire nets. Now, we don't bait our hoop nets, but as far as wire nets trying to catch channel cats, yeah, we'll use those cheese blocks.
Yeah, that's what I would use, is I'd take those cheese blocks and I'd bust it in half with a hammer and use a half and go with it like that. And like you say, man, it just, where I was at off Stowe Creek, I didn't have any. What'd you call them, little fiddlers? That's exactly, I mean, they were just, they're whole fries, you know, just perfect channel cat that we caught out of there. Man, I missed that. If I had to say anything about Lake Darbone that I missed about living there, there's three things: sunrises, sunsets, and the hoop net, or the wire netting fishing. That was always a good time.
Yeah. And those fish, you know, those catfish are just like everything else over there too. You know, in the winter, where's your white perch and stuff at? They out over the channel, right? So that's where your catfish is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, water goes to warming up. We looking, I hadn't been over there in a few days. I don't know. It's probably close to 70 degrees. It goes to getting up around 65, 70 degrees. Those fish go to coming up into 15, 10 foot of water, you know, getting ready for springtime. And that goes along with your net fishing. What I was talking about earlier on the winter, you know, we might be fishing right in the middle of the channel, whereas now we're fishing in 8 to 12 foot of water.
Mm-hmm. There's no place like home on Lake Garbone, and nobody knows this better than Union Parish native Joe Booth with Booth Realty. Joe has been serving real estate clients in North Louisiana since 1998 and will work tirelessly to help you buy or sell your property. Trust me, I can't tell you how many fishing trips I've been on with Joe where when the phone rings, the fishing stops. He's also lived on Lake Garbone for 23 years and will put you in the best place to meet your needs around the lake. Call him today at 318-548-3185 and let Joe Booth guide you home.
All right. What I remember my grandfather having to do a lot of, and it seemed like he'd spent more time upkeeping his hoop nets than he did fishing them. I mean, it ain't just about fishing. You got to take care of your stuff. You got boxes and whatnot like that you keep them in?
No, I hang my hoop nets. I hang them in a shed. The worst thing for hoop nets is really just being out in the sun all the time, or really rats is the worst thing. You know, if them rats find them, I don't know why. They like to chew on them, but they going to chew on that twine and make them a nest in it, and they'll make a biggest mess. You know, if one's folded up, he may cut a hole in every section of that net, making him a rat nest in there. So you kind of want them hanging where they're not touching the edge of the shed, or where at least they can't climb up there and get to them.
That's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that. Papa had an old box, and he would keep his nets in there, and he'd pull them out, and he'd put dope all over them. I don't know what it was. He always called it dope. He'd dope them up and keep them, that old black tar-looking stuff.
And roofing tar. It's just roofing tar.
Okay. Because, see, I was so little, I don't remember. I just remember seeing it and him doing it. He'd stretch them out in the yard, and he'd dope them up. But
yeah, it's just regular old roofing tar. We get ours over at Reed's, actually, and you got to treat them and dope them up. You know, once they go to fading out and that dope gets out of them, we'll treat them once or twice, you know, every year or two, mm-hmm, as they need it.
Now, you and I were talking earlier. I can't wait to hear this, to be honest with you. I'm kind of excited. I want to know about limb lining. Teach me something about limb lining, because I know that you're going to start focusing on that a little bit more.
Yeah, something we've been wanting to get around to, and I'm planning on doing it just as soon as the river gets right. I need it to drop just a little bit. You know, up here where we at, we actually can't even get to the boat ramp right now.
Mm-hmm.
It may have fell out enough by now we can get to it, but we want to go and we'll go down there and camp and put out limb lines one weekend. I like to do that. Something we used to do years ago was that and yo-yo. But we'll take and bait those, you know, we'll go over and catch us some bream and put them bream on them limb lines, and we'll catch some big catfish like it. You catch some big blues too. If you can't get a hold to the bream, you can get a hold to mudcat or goldfish. Goldfish work too. They just, bream's the best. Them bluegills, they just can't resist it. Normally we put them, we'll put probably a 5 or 6 ounce weight about a foot above our hook. I like those Gamagatsu. I think they're octopus hook, like a 9 or 10 aught hook. We use those a lot, and we'll bait them, put them about anywhere from 12 inches to a couple foot under the water, just up in the backwater this time of the year with the river up like it is.
Mm. And like, how many will you, just a guess, how many would you set out at a time?
I mean, I guess, you know, I got a bucket full of them where they're stuck in the top of the bucket. It's a little different every time. A lot of it depends on how much bait you got. You know, if you got your 40 or 50 bream or something that you got live bait that you can bait them with, we'll set out that many. You know, if it ain't but a couple dozen, we might not put out but a couple dozen.
Mm-hmm.
But I ain't never put any out where I just didn't catch any fish. I mean, you're going to catch, you know, you'll catch a nice mess of fish on a a night or two on the weekend doing that kind of thing. And kids enjoy it too if you got some young kids to take with you.
That's what I want to do, man. Golly, I'm ready to get after it. What kind of, do you remember what size twine you using?
I think I use a number 48 braided. It's either 36 or 48, but I'm pretty sure it's I use that green number 48 braided is what I use.
Okay.
And I mean, we'll use some smaller stuff too. It's kind of whatever you got. It's just that smaller stuff, like a number 20 or number 18 twine or something like that. You know, you can catch a 10 pound catfish on that, but you're not going to catch a 30 pound ops, probably going to snap it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon to catch a 30 or 40 or even over 50 pound fish, you know, in the river. You'll catch bigger than that sometimes in the lake.
Yeah. Now, look, I know every good catfisherman remembers his records. What's your record so far? What's your record out of hoop? What's your record out of limb lining?
I've caught some flatheads in the 50s. I don't know. Them bigger ones seem to evade me. There's several people around that's caught them over 70 pounds. But the one I remember the most is actually a blue out of the river that was 52 pounds.
Good lands. That's a big blue.
That's
man.
A really, really big blue for this area. That's the biggest blue I've ever seen in this area. I've caught a lot of 25 and 30 pounds. And we had a channel cat in the river one time that was close to 30. But, you know, a lot of people would say they don't believe that, but I'd have to pull the pictures up and find them to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely was not a blue. He was a channel cat, and he was close to 30. And that, you go to looking at records and stuff, that's a huge channel cat. Like, that's, you know, really, really big for this area.
Yeah, that is big. That is big. You ever mess with a trying to catch it? One thing I've kind of looked at a little bit, I hadn't divulged into it too much, but I know some people specifically target big ops with a rod and reel. You ever got into that?
I have not, but that's something that we probably are going to get into in the near future. We're going to start doing a little bit of that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, where I want to transition to now is I want to talk about your YouTube channel and what folks can find, where they can, you know, what's it called, where they can find. I know it's on YouTube, and what can they expect to see when they look at it?
Well, we started about 3 years ago. We opened the channel up and named it God's Country Hunting Fishing. We just intended on kind of documenting our hunting and fishing trips. That way, you know, years from now, kids could go back and watch it, or grandkids or whatever. And it got a little bit bigger than that. And what happened to us when we started, our original plan was just to put everything that we do on there. And that's still what we're doing. But net fishing was something we've been doing for years. When we started putting that stuff on there, it got pretty popular and kind of blowed the channel up a little bit. But as far as what's on there, we do it all. It's whatever we run into, from snaring coyotes on the lease to hunting hogs and deer and trapping hogs and fishing, brim fishing, white perch fishing, catfishing, all of it.
And you are a diverse outdoorsman. I got to hand it to you, because you got your hands in a little bit of all of it, and you're pretty darn good at all of it, be honest with you. I'm just going to go ahead and toot your horn for you.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, look, did it just blow up overnight, or did it just slowly get this way?
Well, YouTube kind of starts slow, you know, just to get to 100 subscribers for anybody that starts a channel. It's a drag to get to 100. It seems like you can never get there. You're talking months. And we really just, like I said, was documenting a few videos and putting them on there, one a month or something like that. And just to kind of see how it was going to do. And when it started doing better than we thought with the net videos, we went to adding as much as we could during that season, you know, 3 years ago when we started. And because we didn't start it until February, which was about the time we were net fishing. And then there's the whole camera systems and editing and all of this to get those videos downloaded to or uploaded to YouTube, you know. And that was a lot of stuff that we didn't have starting out. We just started filming with our phone and uploading videos, you know, and eventually we went to adding GoPros, and we're still not where we want to be as far as equipment goes. We just said early on we wasn't going to spend a lot of money on it. We was going to keep doing what we do and just let the YouTube channel kind of build itself as far as adding technology and cameras and computers and things like that to do the editing and stuff with.
What kind of editor, what kind of editing system do you use?
Video Gurus, I use some. There's a lot of apps that you can use. It's tough out in the country like this. It just takes forever. You know, you deal with the same stuff, I think, with the podcast to upload some of this stuff.
Yes.
There's a lot of that in it. But, you know, it's we kind of got it rolling now and things going pretty good. So right now we're dropping, trying to drop at least one video a week. We've dropped two a week most of the weeks this year. And then there's also, you know, YouTube come out with shorts. So they're letting us put some short clips on there. It's kind of like TikTok or something like that. And that's kind of a new thing that we're piddling with just a little bit, you know, but it's all part of the channel.
Do you have where do you find your sweet spot that people tend to like your videos? What length do you think they like them at?
I've done a lot of studying on the YouTube stuff. There's no doubt it's between 11 and 15 minutes on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know, is your best performing stuff. I don't know much about the podcast world, but YouTube has a lot of things they look at. I mean, it's the likes, the shares, the clicks, the first 30 seconds of the video, how well you hold, you know, the audience attention. They're looking at all those numbers, and you know, we can download a video on there. We don't control how many people sees it. They do. YouTube does.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, and then they're also, you know, us old country boys got to be careful about the putting some of the pow pows and stuff on there. You know, you got to be careful about all that. So, and that's the one of the hardest things that we've had to deal with, actually, you know, because that's just part of life for us.
Yeah. You know, I found with the podcast, and this is just general feedback from people I talk to, if I can hit it less than right around that 45-minute mark, you know, a little low over isn't too bad, but the closer to 1 hour it pushes, the more people are like, man, I just, you know, couldn't finish it out. They want something they can listen to on the way to work and finish it on the way back. And I'm like, okay, I got it. Now, like, unless you're like the guys like Joe Rogan who can go for 2 or 3 hours, and I'm not that guy. You know, I'm not going to sit here and milk something to death for 2 or 3 hours. I think if we can't get it in within an hour, I have failed my listeners. But, you know, like you just said, there's always going to be a sweet spot somewhere in there.
Yeah, with YouTube, you know, I mean, if you can hold an audience for 30 minutes or something, if you got that subject that just really gonna grasp that attention, it'll do good. You know, you can go longer. Some of our videos are 30 minutes, you know, if it's good content. I mean, we've had net run videos, just one run might be edited out, end up being over 30 minutes, you know, if we're catching a lot of fish or something.
Yeah.
And those videos will do sometimes well, you know. It's just, and we're early, you know, we're new in it, you know, 3 years really ain't our old channel, but you know, it's starting to grow. I figure the way it looks right now, we're growing about 300 subs every 4 weeks, and probably we'll hit 5,000 subs probably by June.
Man, that's good, cuz I'm impressed with that. That is big time. To me, that's big, because like we talked before, there's a lot of people that have YouTube channels, this and other, and you know, what you're basically saying is just grind it out and keep working. Don't worry about how many subscribers you've got. Just keep putting good content out. The subscribers will come.
And that's what we've done. You know, a lot of people don't know, too, that a lot of, and I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not saying all these guys do that. But, you know, some of these guys that have a lot of subs and stuff, you know, you can buy subs.
Oh, really?
Well, oh, yeah. There's things you can do to like, up your numbers, and we've just refused to do anything like it. Like I said, I'm not knocking people that blow up big quick, because some of those guys are legit and they just did it. You know what I'm saying? There's just content that's fantastic. That's this is something that we had never been used to doing our whole lives. You know, you're in your 40s and you start a YouTube channel. You don't know how to do this stuff.
I agree.
So it's a big learning curve for us. Our goal in life wasn't to do YouTube. It was to hunt and fish and enjoy ourselves. We're just making a decision midway through life, hopefully to kind of share that with some other people and share some of the knowledge that we've learned over the years. You know, the big thing for us was these kids. It's like my two kids. I got two that's fixing to graduate college. And since they started college, ain't neither one of them hardly done very, very little as far as the outdoors goes, you know, with us hunting and fishing. And they grew up, both of them, hunting and fishing from the time we could carry them as babies. They was in the deer stand, you know. And we wanted them to be able to go back and share all those times with us and have all that knowledge, because I can promise you there's a lot of the stuff we do that they couldn't go and do right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe Booth was calling me. Had to send him the voicemail. But you, going back to your kids, that's why I do this podcast. That's why I do all the, or used to do the outdoor writing. And you know, I've got daughters. You know, they hunt a little bit, but they're not into it. And, you know, one day I want my grandchildren, you know, if God blesses me with them, and my, to go back and listen to some of the stuff and read some of the stuff, because, it, you know, if I can't, heaven forbid, I might not be around to show them, you know, and I want them to have an opportunity to see and how, and know how we used to do it so that they can take it and pass that on.
Yeah. You know, Greg, the biggest thing about this and probably why I started it is years ago, me and Daddy talked about, we did all this stuff years ago. We talked about filming hunts and fishing and stuff, and we never did it. We didn't really have the capability of doing it. I guess it's been 9 or 10 years ago, he passed away at 62, which is pretty young. And a lot of times I wish that, and we had technology at the, you know, before he passed away, but we never recorded anything. We hunted and fished together up until a few months before he died, but we never recorded any of it. You know, we got pictures, but we don't have that audio and that stuff that, man, you'd really like to go back and see. And that's just something, you know, hey, you don't even have to monetize these YouTube channels. You know, if somebody wants to go out there and film some stuff and put on a YouTube channel for their kids and grandkids to see years from now, you can do that. You can open an account, go in there, upload your videos. And you never have to even go in and monetize it or anything or try to grow it like what we're doing. You know, this has become more of a, this is kind of becoming an information deal for us now. And we also try to keep our videos more quality oriented, more than like a vlog or something. You know, a lot of these people that got big, I'm not going to name no names, but a lot of them that made a lot of money in YouTube stuff, they kind of went to vlogs because, you know, if they got 500,000 subs, and they drop carrying out the trash today, they may pull a couple grand off of carrying out the trash because they got 500,000 views off of, you know, somebody walking carrying the trash out or something. And mm-hmm. it's kind of silly the way it's went, but I'm using that as an example, but that's kind of the way a lot of them went with their channels. And it really, you've seen now they're, if you look at their subs 5 years ago before they started doing that, now they're doing it, their channels ain't growing no more. They're not getting any bigger because of that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not something that's going to grab and hold people's attention.
That's right.
But, you know, and one thing I do want to say, Greg, about our channel is we called it God's Country Hunting and Fishing for a reason. We want to make sure when we put the name on there that we kept God the focus. So that's why we put that in our name for the channel. And that's what we oriented around is something anybody in the family can watch. You know, there's none of our videos got no cussing or anything like that in it. So people can sit around and show it to their grandkids or whatever. You know, we get messages back where there's 6-month-olds laughing at the videos and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. I have a strong appreciation for that, brother. A very strong, you know, because a lot of people, they want to, you'll listen to, in my word, you'll turn on a new podcast and, you know, and don't get me wrong, you know, I work in a tough industry. I hear cuss words all the time, every day. But sometimes you listen, you're like, man, that's kind of getting a little strong. Hey, you got to say all that, you know, and it's kind of a breath of fresh air when you can sit down and watch something or listen to something and you don't have to worry about the content. You know it's going to be okay.
Yeah, and that's what we do. You know, we all work around it and hear it every day, and it's part of life. But it don't have to be, and that's what we kind of tried to keep our channel clean. You know, there's not going to be no half naked women or anything like that on there. That's just the way we're keeping it.
That's right.
Those things get a lot of views, but we don't really care about that. So it is what it is, and we're going to have some stuff people want to learn. You know, we do a lot of net building, and I've done some videos on that, got real popular, and things like that, kind of help people out, you know. And then we get a lot of feedback from that kind of thing. You was talking about the dip in the nets and stuff. I think we've actually got two videos uploaded now that are dipping nets and how you do it, what to use. All of that's in those videos.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff, Bradley. Well, look, man, I'm going to let you get off here. I know, look, folks, this man had surgery the other day and still took time to come on and talk and did one heck of a podcast, cuz. Thank you for taking time, and I hope you're feeling better, and I hope you get back on.
No problem.
Hope you get back on that water pretty soon.
Oh, it will be pretty soon, hopefully.
Man, I'm glad Bradley came on. We had a good time talking. We even talked a little bit afterwards, just about the old days. You know, I as a kid, I used to go with my grandfather a lot, and we'd Papa have us out there, me and Daddy, and Papa would hoop net a little bit and pulling up them cats, and just, man, it was a good time. If you've never experienced it, you need to go with somebody at least once. If you know somebody runs hoop nets and you don't have anything to do one day, say, hey, man, can I go with you? Because that's an experience you can always talk about. Head over to the YouTube page. Check his out, man. He's got some good stuff on there. The YouTube page is growing. And while you're at it, you're checking out pages, go check out the Antlers and Hicks Facebook page. We've got some cool hats, got some shirts. I've got some more stuff on the way, got some big stuff on the horizon. Y'all lay with me. My name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks podcast. And as always, I'm going to encourage you guys to live your life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.